Good morning. I'm going to read from Psalm 51, 10 through 13. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. That's a goal of mine. I didn't plan very well this time. I have to think ahead and plan ahead for a lesson, because for me, it's like a bank account, probably like a bank account, although I don't have a lot of experience with that, but when it's empty, it's empty. this time, I didn't plan very well, is when I, like, oh, I got the lesson. And I'm looking in there and it's echoing in the chamber. It's empty in here. I don't know. I had made several commitments that took up my time before. It's funny, I kind of rotate around Sunday morning lessons. My life has several axes in there, about 6 weeks apart. So I try to plan my time around that. I had committed to, at work we have a exercise program, and I had committed to 30 minutes of exercise 5 days a week. Well, that's amazing how much time that can take up. 30 minutes takes up like an hour. Strange how that works. And then just prior to that, I had a taekwondo test I was getting ready for. And then a couple weeks prior to this, I had asked the library for an interlibrary loan, which I don't know if you know what that is, but you can go to the library and ask for a book they don't have, and they will find it for you and get it for you. Well, usually they're pretty quick about it, and in a week you got the book, and then when I get a book, not much else happens, okay, because I got a book to read, and it's an interlibrary loan, so it has to be back in 2 weeks. I mean, you can't renew it and as easily. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can renew it, but most of the time you got 2 weeks, and then you're done, whether you read it or not. So, anyway, and so it was like beginning of last week, your book is in. I'm like, great. So, God was looking out for me because the librarian said, they don't want it back till March 3rd. And I'm like, March 3rd? That's like 2 months. That's great. So in me, there is this place. There is this place, and I don't know if you guys are like this or not, but I have this hole, this account, this treasure box, maybe, and James 4, I think it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And if I don't plan on filling that box or that account, that room, then it stays empty. And it gets emptier and emptier and emptier. I don't quite understand how that works. But so I was thinking, all right, I got 1 week and I got to fill this thing up. So, I was really thinking about this, and so I was writing down things, reading, and Doug's lesson went very well with this, because he was very timely. He was like whacking me on the head with it. And Bible reading is always, it's become a habit for me, a tradition, we might say, because sometimes I can read a whole chapter of the Bible and get done, and I know what I'm going to do for the rest of the day, and it doesn't have anything to do with what I read in the Bible. It's weird how you can be reading one thing and your mind is grinding away on something else. So, I have seen this before, and I call this a mood of distance from God. I just came up with that. So, anyway, and I don't think it's sin, or I'm unsaved, or anything like that. It's just that I'm not near to God, I guess, in my mind. And so, I don't have that special connection. So I started writing down, all right, how do I accomplish this? How do I get near to God? And prayer was the first one on the list. And prayer doesn't work. I can't, I know I gave a lesson here recently on prayer, and it's a great thing and all this stuff, but it's kind of an advanced technique for me. So when my bank account is really low, prayer doesn't work. I feel like that robber that Lucas was talking about. I'm going to God and I'm taking something that isn't mine, which is true all the time. But anyway, it doesn't work for me that way. And so then I put down, I think it was singing. So I was like, singing. Okay, sometimes that works. If it's the right song and in the right setting, singing will work for me. Singing has never been one of my stronger points for encouragement or anything like that. I can sing all the songs. I mean, we start with, when we used to start with three songs, a prayer and another song, or, you know, and I could sing all of them. And then we'd be on the last one, and it was like the light starts coming on. Like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to be here. So that's always a slow one for me. But certain songs really hit me. And Wednesday night, that was one of those occasions. And then reading. Reading works for me generally, but I found some nuances in it. Where if I read silently to myself, I can, like I said earlier, I can totally ignore it and just not even hear it. I mean, it's just running in this ear and right out this one and back out onto the floor. But if I read it out loud, which I do more and more lately, then it kind of sticks a little better. But what really works is when I read to somebody else. And Cassidy has really helped me with this. Whether she knows it or not, she probably hates 6:30 in the morning. But I get her up, and we do Bible reading. And it has helped me tremendously. Because then I can see her over there, you know, hair down over her face, frown, her chin about half inch off the table. And she's just, it's running in this ear and running back out that ear. Not even going through. And so I feel compelled to make it personal. You know, Dad's job is to suck the fun out of everything. And so that really helps me. We'll see if it helps her. But it really helps me because then I'm reading something and it's striking a chord with me and she's sitting there and it's not getting there. And so then I start asking questions, or what does this mean to you, or this kind of thing. And that makes it special. That really does it for me. My bank account is starting to come back up. Yeah, I had verses I wanted to read. Okay, I guess it's not too late yet. But I noticed one thing, the best thing, the most foolproof thing that works for me, that encourages me, is to drag myself here and to sit here. It can be Wednesday night, and I'm about half asleep, and I can't say I don't want to be here, but there's a part of me that would rather be in my bed, or sitting somewhere else. I don't know what I would be doing, but there's part of me that I just had to drag me here and get me here. And it's you guys. And I didn't really, I mean, I've talked about this. I've probably given this lesson before multiple times. I don't know. I'm trying to use a different approach, but maybe I need this. So I drag myself here. And I've told other people that too. I said, just get there. I mean, you'll feel better once you're there. And it works. It works. Seeing you guys here, and you're singing, and you're praying, and that encourages me. Okay? So keep it up. Keep coming. Maybe we're all dragging ourselves here and mutually edifying each other. Huh? That should be a theme or something. Yeah. Anyway, so I want to go to Hebrews 10. I know I've used this multiple times. I like this verse. Verses. All right, Marty. There it is. Okay, Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That is a great passage. It's got a lot of stuff in there that I need. The encouragement. Let us not give up. I mean, this is. I don't know the history of Hebrews and when this was written, but I mean, it can't be that old. I mean, I think Paul wrote Hebrews, right? Isn't that what we think, suspect? Anyway, it's not real sure, but anyway. So it's within a lifetime of the new church, and already they were starting to think, I don't need to go. I'm just gonna sit here and I don't know. They didn't watch TV, but you know, watch the chariots go by. You know, I don't know what they did, but you know, if I get in this mood of distance from God, if I don't do something, if I don't actively do something to counteract that, it only gets deeper and darker. I move further away. And, you know, I have to do something. And maybe, like I said, the one that works the best is just getting here. And that's the easiest one to do, because that's habit. That's habit. You just drag yourself here, and it's amazing how it works. I don't even have to tell you guys that I'm not really wanting to be here, you know. And then I would be overwhelmed with probably, I don't know, overwhelmed. And so, but I don't even have to do that. You guys just acting normal is what I need. So, thank you. So that's the last part of that was, let us not give up meeting together. No, that's not it. Oh, come on. Where is it? Spurs. It's got the spurs in there from the chicken. Okay. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. See, that's not... I mean, you think of a chicken spur or a cowboy spurs, you know, something that could draw blood. That's not really what needs to be done. I mean, I don't have to, like I said, I don't have to tell you guys that I need encouragement. I just show up and be in your presence, and that encourages me. And maybe sometimes there should be times that I should say, yes, I need some encouragement. But most of, I don't think I've ever said that. But there's probably times where I should have. But you guys do it by accident or out of habit. So thank you again. Okay, moving on. All right, let's go to my other one is my meditation time. Now, I'm not talking about stretchy pants in an uncomfortable position. I'm talking about what you think about, what is on your mind most of the time. I don't know how many of you read Wade Stanley's article on the Gospel Message. This is the last time, I think it was. But he really whacked me in the head with it. So it's a good one. So look that up and read it. But so meditation time. So let's go to Matthew 13. I can always find these much faster at home. Probably because it's on a flat surface. Okay, Matthew 13, 1 through 9. This is the parable of the sower. No, nothing new here. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. So, then skipping down to 22 and 23. This is the yin and the yang. If you're Korean, if you're Japanese, it's yin and yang. But this is the two sides of the coin here. Matthew in 22 and 23. The one who received the seed that fell among thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it, He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So what's the difference in the two soils here? It's the weed seed that's in there with it. It's the same soil. It's just that the farmer didn't, well, there was a weed there last year, and it dropped all its seeds down. And so that good soil around that weed has now become full of problems. Well, we are Americans, right? So we are in excellent soil. We've been blessed beyond measure. But we are also lots of weed seeds in there. Lots of weed seeds. And we have, this is our meditation time. This is what we think about. This is why I wasn't ready to get a lesson. Because that account was empty. But my reading account was full. My taekwondo account was full. My exercise account was full. Those become weeds at that point, because it got was choking out my spiritual account. Those are good things. I mean, exercise is good. Reading is good. I mean, all those things are good and useful and all that. But they choked out what I should have been putting in there. Now, usually this is where I get overwhelmed. I'm like, all right, something's got to go. I got to pull weed. And so kind of what I've decided is, all right, I'm not going to pull the weeds, because I kind of read the next parable and they didn't pull the weeds in that one. So I feel kind of justified in not pulling all the weeds. So we're going to leave the weeds. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and fertilize my spiritual life. I'm going to focus on it. I'm going to pour more meditation time into my spiritual life, more of my thinking time, and so that it will grow bigger and faster, and what gets pushed off to the side hopefully will just fall off to the side. And I won't have to pull it, okay? And anyway, that's my plan. We'll see if it works. So, I want to go to Hebrews 5 now. Hebrews 5. Let's see, verses 11 and 14. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. That kind of hurts. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and from evil. The key is in that last phrase, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from and evil. Good from evil. When you have a skill you're trying to learn, when you first hear about it, we know, well, yeah, I got it. It's in my logical brain. But then the key is to move it from logical. I can't remember what the other side of the brain is called now, but. Mm, muscle memory is where I'm trying to go. So if you're learning, I mean, sometimes in Taekwondo, I'll use Taekwondo. Like, why do we do so many low side kicks? I mean, why do we do that over and over again? Well, what do you, when you're in an emergency situation, your self-defense or whatever, logic side of your brain shuts down. So you're not going to logically go, ah, his knee is a weak place. I'm going to kick him in the knee. No, you've done it 200 million times, so you just turn and smash down on the knee. So that's what you do. That's muscle memory. Your body takes over. So the same goes with spiritual things. What do I do? I get a free moment. I'm already, I was getting this lesson last night, and I was already thinking about Sunday afternoon. I get to do what I want to do. Oh, that kind of hurts. Because that's exactly what my lesson is about. I want to have it so that my natural bent or my muscle response is that, oh, I got a moment. I got some free time. Let's not pop that movie into the TV. Let's go get my Bible and study or go talk to somebody, something more along an evangelistic type line. I mean, the cool thing about Tom Woody was that he made Christianity cool, okay? For my generation, anyway. I've heard this, well, for me, I should say, because he was not your normal evangelist. I mean, he was young. He was not like he just sucked on a lemon drop with vinegar on it. I mean, he was cool. He played softball. He actually played with the kids and drew on the chalkboard. Did you ever do that with him? Oh, he would start drawing something and you had to guess what he was drawing. Anyway, it was cool. So, it was actually at his funeral that Rick Sparks said, he gave me great hope. He said, this is not going to be an exact quote, but he said he was lamenting the fact that Tom had died. I'm thinking he was right around 60. Is that about right? Somewhere in there? Okay. And he said that a man is probably the most useful to the church between 50 and 70. And I was like, hey, I'm early for something. That's amazing. So anyway, closing that gap quickly. But so, by constant use, make it muscle memory. Make it so that it's your habit to do something spiritual. And think of the evangelists. I mean, when you hang out with the evangelists, you don't generally end up talking about... What do you end up talking about? You end up talking about something in the Bible, right? You end up talking about something spiritual. And so it's kind of what they're all about. That's what my comment was about Paul. He's thankful for the brethren. Well, yeah, that's what he's all about. I mean, that's what his life was about, the brethren. Okay. Like I said, Wade's article is goes right along with these lines. And so when I have a moment, I shift to these other things. I start plugging in. I get on the treadmill, or I do Taekwondo, or I You know, I do these things that they're good things, but they're not exactly the most important thing. And so I need to get my priorities tweaked a little bit. And also, Doug and I were talking about 98.3. I don't know if any of you guys listen to 98.3, but him and I have similar jobs. We drive a lot and listen to the radio. And it was in the morning, oh, I can't remember what his name was now, but it was politics. And then after him came on Glenn Beck, and that's politics and God. And then after Glenn Beck came on, I think it was Michael Savage, and that's depressing politics. And then after that came on, was it Mark Levin? And that's lunatic politics, loud politics, I should say. And I listened to that stuff. That was my favorite station. As soon as I get in the van, that came on. And I'd listen to that for a couple weeks, and I'd just be, oh, we're doomed. We're all going to die in a big boom. Which is probably, we'll all be changed in a big boom. But anyway, I wasn't looking at it that way. And I would read verses like in, let's go to 1 Peter 3-9 if I have my notes right here. 1 Peter 1:3-9. No, this isn't it. Anyway, we're going to read it anyway. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you can say that? I mean, we can say that, but how many of you wake up thinking that? It's usually, I have to get out of bed. Anyway, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How many of you thought of that this morning? I had to purposely think about it because I thought of it last night. And I knew, well, I want to say this in the morning, so I want to purposely think about this when I wake up. All right. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Yes, this is the one. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's what was missing when I was listening to 98.3. This joy. There was no joy there. I was thinking about things I probably shouldn't be thinking about. Things that were not good at all. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So that was draining my spiritual bank account. That was stealing my spiritual, my joy, stealing it away from me, making it just down. And we were down in Brookfield and last weekend, right? Yeah. And in class they were in Revelations, and they were talking about Constantine, a Roman emperor, I think, if I have that right. And he's the first one to embrace Christianity. He didn't embrace it because he thought Christianity was the way to go. He embraced it because Christians were positive. They were happy and they were upbeat. Think about it. Where was the Roman culture at this time? Abortion was high. The government was corrupt. Oh, you think we got corrupt government? They were like, I mean, they couldn't sleep at night because the babies were on the hilltop screaming, being eaten. Okay? And the government was just rotten to the core. You know, does that sound familiar? I mean, just a little bit? I mean, our culture is collapsing, appears to be. Abortion is running rampant. Our government's corrupt. And we're coming down. And Christians, is our government going to go, oh, we want to go with Christians because they're happy and upbeat. Gives you something to think about, huh? Gives me something to think about. So the point of this lesson is, what I wanted to get out of this was, remember the joy that you have through your salvation. Remember what Jesus has done for you. Remember, His blood has made it so you can approach God. You can go to God. You don't have to go through a priest. You are the priest. You go to God and you present your case to God and you can talk to Him. You can read His Word. I mean, He's talking to you through His Word. You got that. Remember that joy. Your guilt is gone. Your sins are gone. You're clean. And you got an inheritance in heaven that is way better than American citizenship. Way better. It's going to make this look like a prison camp. And then my second point is, make the effort to make this the center of your life. Make that whatever it is you have to do. If praying, then get a copy of War Room and watch it over and over and over again. And get you a little clean out part of your closet. And if it's singing, then memorize all the songs you can and sing. And if it's reading, then read. And if it's most definitely here, the brethren here. So come here. Come here and interact with the people here and get that support. Okay. I'm done. So the invitation is offered. If anybody wants this, anybody wants that inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. I mean, that's, think about it. What in this life won't spoil, perish, or fade? Even gold and silver. Joy's uncle had a bunch of silver. House burned down. He knew exactly where the silver was. Never found a trace of it. It's gone. Gone. So, even things we consider solid aren't. They will be gone. So, but this is solid. We'll offer an invitation this time. Please come forward if you need help.